Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Illinois Public Radio State House Bureau Chief Amanda Venicky joins us to talk about what was or was not accomplished on budget issues this week during a meeting between Governor Bruce Rauner and legislative leaders. Amanda, thanks for being with us.
Of course.
Well, we received a lot of mixed messages, as I read them, following that meeting this week. Some people saying progress was made on the budget, others saying not so much. Which is it?
I'm going to lean on the not-so-much side, or as you described it, mixed messages. It seemed as if immediately out of the meeting between the governor and the four legislative leaders, there were some high hopes, but they were dashed pretty darn immediately because the speaker basically came out and said that he, yes, will appoint legislators to these what we're calling working groups to talk about some of the issues that are not directly related to the budget, but are what the governor says part of Illinois' overall conversation in getting the economy up to par. But he said, you know, we've done all we're going to really do on these matters. So it was basically, I've said kind of two steps forward, two steps back, but maybe the fact that they even met can be seen as significant, despite Illinois being in this unprecedented time of being now in an 11th month without any budget. This is only the second time in calendar year 2016 that the governor and those four top leaders got together.
Well, time is an issue in another way, too, is it not? Because the legislative session is over in a couple of weeks. Does that stop things cold?
All we have is until the end of the month, and it's not to say that legislators can't come back and meet continually, as really they have ever since January of 2015, because this has been ongoing. But after the 31st of May, starting June 1, once that clock reaches that time, then it takes extra votes in order to pass any budget. Of course, that makes it all the more difficult to pass controversial legislation. There are some who think maybe that will make things easier because it forces the hand at compromise. Right now, Democrats do have, at least in the House, the bare minimum of supermajorities to get things done. So ostensibly, they could do it themselves, but that the Democrats are not as together as you may initially think, so they have been unable to, and really unwilling. They want Republicans to share in the blame of what is the tough medicine Illinois needs.
Right. Well, we've heard some talk also following this meeting that perhaps some social service programs would be restored, or at least have the money restored for them. Is that likely to happen? It's a big issue down here.
I don't think so. In fact, you had this week social services really even more making that case, putting out studies, writing a letter to the governor, really kind of begging because they say it's do or die time now if it wasn't already before. And for some of those charities, it already has reached that point. But Governor Bruce Rauner not immediately taking action on it. He hasn't said he would veto it, but he has not given a thumbs up and instead said that he has qualms with the legislation as it's written in what he calls drafting errors. I actually had a pretty 15-minute sit-down with House Speaker Michael Madigan and asked him about those quote-unquote drafting errors and if there was a plan to fix them so that maybe the governor would get on board with sending these $700 million to social service agencies. Madigan not seeming to give in there either, saying that it is nonsense and basically politics on the part of the governor's office.
Well, in 30 seconds, take out your crystal ball and tell me what's going to happen.
I do think that the legislature will pass a budget, but I would be surprised if it is with bipartisan support. And so the question will be, I think Democrats, perhaps some sort of spending plan sent to the governor. It's a matter of what he does with it and what's included in that. Of course, subject to change, although May 31st is coming soon, that can be a lifetime in politics.
As always with this story, stay tuned. Thank you, Amanda Venicky.
Thank you.
Let's turn now to Joe Manis and Missouri politics. The state GOP convention takes place in Branson this weekend. Delegates will choose those who will ultimately go to the national convention in Cleveland this summer. Joe, thank you for being with us. I know you're heading for Branson as soon as we finish here.
Yeah.
Tell me, with the presumptive nominee in place now, Donald Trump, of course, does this mean it's going to be a quiet weekend in Branson?
No. Now, this is the convention they hold every 4 years.
Yeah.
And among other things, the state GOP has put together what's known as a compromise slate. I'm putting quotes around it.
Yeah.
Of delegates to fill about half of the slots. A bunch of the others were filled earlier, and as we've mentioned, a lot of Cruz allies are in Trump slots from those. This one is a mix. It includes a lot of the top state officials like Todd Richardson, who's the House Speaker, Colleen Wassinger, who's a councilwoman out in St. Louis County, and some others. But the interesting thing is that except for Phyllis Schlafly, who is on the slate as an alternate, I'm told, most of them are not Trump people. So even though Trump may be the nominee and stuff won't be overt, they're still going to be mainly non-Trump people filling these delegate slots, even though they're going to be committed to Trump on the first ballot.
And that means what? That, not that he's going to be on the first on the ballot first vote, but what does it mean having the Cruz and Rubio delegates?
Well, what it means is that they're going to have influence. Now, this you can say this is similar to what Sanders is trying to do in the Democratic side. They're going to have influence. The party platform, for example, which is a list of stands, and the average person may not know that both parties do this, but the idea is they encourage their candidates to adhere to these or at least share them. And for the Republicans, it's not only they want a federal balanced budget amendment, they believe in only marriage between a man and a woman. They have a new one that they're proposing to put in that would be oppose allowing transgender people to using bathrooms that are not of the gender they were born with.
The issue du jour.
Yeah, the issue du jour, which is rather intriguing. There, and they also have a provision calling for the return to paper ballots. I mean, I'm serious. And I mean, because there's probably about 200 lists. Some of them are about national defense stuff. But it is fascinating when you read through this because you really get a sense of kind of which sides have the most influence right now. They're very conservative on the abortion front, for example, calling for the overturning of Roe v. Wade, things like that, a strong Second Amendment list. And so the platform, I'm told, will likely be passed without too much debate tomorrow. But it's still, there may be some debate. And all of the statewide candidates from Roy Blunt on down are planning to be there and to address the convention. And that's where you really get a sense of what they stand for.
Do you have any sense, you're talking to these folks all the time, as to the general feeling about Donald Trump? I know he's got 37 delegates committed to him. But what about the feeling within the GOP in Missouri about Donald Trump?
Well, as I've mentioned before, none of the top state officials in the state, Republicans, had backed him. Most of them had been with Bush or Rubio. So they're sort of warming up to him. You're seeing less overt hand-wringing because people are seeing the polls. I mean, it's close, at least when you look at these polls. Now, I want to emphasize, this is May. It's not November when they vote, so you never know what's going to happen. One incident can change things. But there seems to be more of an excitement that maybe he will be bringing in more people to the party, or at least people who maybe weren't that keen on some other Republicans, that he'll energize the Tea Party base and some others that they really will need to turn out in order to carry the state, in our case, but also that as part of the building block of what a candidate needs to win the White House. So I'm not hearing, I mean, just in the last week or two, the anti-Trump talk has just gone off the radar. It's off.
That is interesting. You know, you talk about his bringing new people into the party. I've been reading some analyses this week which indicate that really hasn't happened. That have you seen any of that, that Trump has not really brought people into the party? It may appear that way, but
I have seen that, but I think what the Republicans I talk to, they A, don't necessarily believe it, but B, they believe if nothing else, he's energized people who may identify themselves as Republicans or Libertarians and who have not been energized in the last year or two. Mm-hmm. Now, in Missouri, though, generally Republicans turn out better than Democrats, especially in off-year elections. Presidential elections, it tends to be closer. So that's why the Republicans are doing everything they can to try to get their base to turn out, because this is a presidential year. So this is always a high watermark for Democrats.
As you have indicated, one of the issues for discussion in Branson is going to be the issue of primaries, changing the process. What's the issue here?
Yeah, and this can be a big one for the average person. Missouri is one of those states right now that has open primaries. And when you register to vote, you don't put down if you're a Republican or a Democrat. I mean, when you register to vote at the beginning, and when you go to vote in a primary, you don't have to vow that you're a Republican or a Democrat. You just ask for a Republican or Democratic ballot, and you always ask so quietly so nobody hears. But under this, it would all change. It would become a closed primary state. When you register, you would need to declare yourself either Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, or an independent, or whatever. If you declared yourself as an independent, for example, it would mean that you would not be able to vote in the Republican or Democratic primary unless you changed your affiliation. And those affiliations would be public records, which means anybody could go in and look and see how you vote. And that'd be very different for Missouri. Some states have had that for decades. Missouri is among those that has not.
It's one of the things that Bernie Sanders has been complaining about.
Well, Bernie Sanders likes open primaries because he believes it makes people shift in that. And to be candid, in my personal view, I'm not sure if Trump would have done as well as he has done, especially in Missouri, if not for the open primaries, because he's probably brought over some conservative Democrats.
The gubernatorial candidates are all going to be there this weekend. How important is this weekend to them?
Well, for one thing, they're appealing to not just the rank-and-file activists. They're also appealing to the donors. A lot of the big donors are going to be there. Some of them are going to be on the delegate list, but some of them are just going to be there to watch. And I've already heard talk about that. And frankly, we do not have donation limits in Missouri. And so if a donor can write a $500,000 check or $1 million check, that can be a game changer in many of these contests. And that's been particularly true in the governor's race, where you have a handful of donors in state and out of state who have picked one of them. And that's the main reason we have four, except for Bruner, who is still self-funding most of his campaign because he's a millionaire. So it is important for them to get their message out. And I said to the donors, as well as to these rank and file people who will be the ones knocking on the doors, talking to their neighbors, actually doing a lot of the grunt work that candidates need on the ground to get elected.
Well, this quadrennial affair doesn't start until tomorrow, but you're anxious to get down there today, eager to get down there today. Why?
Well, the state committee, which is the top officials within the party, they're meeting this afternoon, and that's when this primary thing is going to come up. And if they vote, there'll be an official recommendation, and then that will go to the convention tomorrow. And also, there's going to be all the hospitality suites tonight, and that's where people will be mingling. And that's where you can get a lot of talk. You can kind of really get a handle on how people really feel about Trump, you know, because they're a little more casual about it. Nobody's really watching him. So, and there'd be a lot of people who aren't members of the convention hanging around. I mean, for example, Ted Cruz's campaign manager, Jeff Rowe, who is one of the top consultants in the Midwest and who is from Kansas City, his wife actually is on the proposed delegate alternate slate that's going to be up tomorrow. So there's going to be a lot of people who you haven't seen in a while who are going to be hanging around kind of seeing what's going on.
Well, what's the headline going to be on Monday when all of this is over?
I'm not sure. I've got a couple ideas, but I always try to go into these events with an open mind because every time you think, oh, the story's going to be X, all of a sudden it's like, holy cow, it's Y. So that's what I'll find out.
And what kind of shape is the party in? I understand what you've been saying about the feelings about Donald Trump, but in terms of a solid party, a united party in Missouri, is it there?
Well, the Missouri Republican Party has long, I would say, generally been the more organized of the two. And so they have a more top-down structure. They have these veto-proof majorities in the General Assembly, which they want to keep. Yeah. And so a lot of those leaders, they say, will be there at the convention. A lot of them are on the delegate list now. And so they are trying to make sure they have a common ground, common feel about things. The Democrats... It's always been more helter-skelter, which is refreshing, but it also means it's harder for them to pin things down. I think that Missouri Attorney General Chris Coster, who's the likely Democratic nominee for governor, will be the name, frankly, probably on as many lips as Donald Trump, because the Republicans are right now concede that he probably has an edge. And they're going to be slamming him in every speech, trying to figure out ways to take him down. They want a Republican governor really bad.
Right. Well, we'll let it go at that, Joe Manis, and let you go
so you
can get down to Branson. Thank you so much for being with us. Have a safe journey down there.
Thank you.
Thanks, too, to Amanda Vinicky for being with us. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.